What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we are back. Appreciate you being here on a Monday. We're inching toward the season as we heard the first major poll come out today, the coaches poll, where the University of Texas got a first place vote. We blame it on our next guest, except he didn't vote in the coaches poll. Michael Brennan joins us. How are you? It's been too long. What's going on?
Hey, doing great, Paul. And yes, I was not the one that voted Texas. I wouldn't even put them in the top 25, nonetheless, number one in the country.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to upset Nick Saban by saying that. He's going to try to build Texas up for that second week in Austin.
Right. And Texas does not deserve to be ranked. I'll say that now. And they don't deserve to be ranked when they lose by about 45 points. I don't think it'll be a 50-point ball game, but I think it'll be pretty close to that.
A 45-point game. So Michael coming out with fire. What else? I'm raising my arms and like what else is new? So I haven't seen you in a few weeks. You were always on fire. What is motivating you these days to light the torch?
Well, kind of like Nick Saban, I'm over here in a rebuilding. I may have the number one rated SEC podcast out there, but it's a rebuild year over here in Nashville, my home base.
I have to ask you this. I read something the other day. I think it was maybe Dan Patrick or Rich Eisen. I really don't remember which. I think it was Patrick who talked about in rather disparaging terms how everyone he knows now, and I think he was speaking of Keith Olbermann, has a podcast. And I say that because there are, I mean, they are like amoebas, are they not? Which I wonder, and I realize yours is a little bit different. It's not just the, let me grab somebody and do a podcast. But what? How do you live in that space that is getting very overcrowded these days?
Yeah, I mean, you're right on the money, Paul. I mean, and I'm just fortunate enough now that we live in an era to where, hey, I've worked for the big media outlets. I've worked for NFL.com. I've worked for FoxSports.com. I don't need them now. And believe it or not, I make more money now on my own than I do working for them. But it is, like you said, it's a crowded space. And I may be telling on myself a little bit here, but there's nothing special about what I'm doing. I'm just putting in the work. I'm putting in the hours. And literally anybody listening to this right now, if they need a pick-me-up, they could do what I do. I just go out there and put out the work. And heck, I even help them get off the ground. So it's a wild era we're living in here, Paul, but if you put in the work, a lot of people will start listening to you, and that's where we're at with my show.
Michael, I really like your confidence, and you back it up. So not that you're offering a tutorial to many out there who are saying, I got my own podcast. What do you do that you think differentiates you from the average bear?
Well, really, at our show, That SEC Podcast, I mean, we truly believe we're the only ones that cover the SEC like it deserves. I mean, we had people calling us out, Paul, when old Chad Morris was up there at Arkansas. They said we talked more Razorback football than we did Alabama Crimson Tide, which was on to number six national championship down there. But that's what you got to do, because the SEC is just so full of these rabid fan bases. I say one bad thing about Kentucky, I got to hear about it for a month. I say one bad thing about A&M, I got to hear about it for a month. And instead of looking at that as a problem, I look at it as these people deserve all the attention we can give them, all the coverage we can give them, and they just eat it up. So, I'm just fortunate to be here.
We went through a period and happened to where I work as well, where we were in a literal hot take environment where not only were there too many hot takes, I mean, they sounded contrived. How do you, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but how do you avoid getting that perception that, oh, this guy's just saying it to get whatever.
Well, I may certainly be guilty of that on your show, Paul, but you've got a wide audience here. I'm trying to get the message out, but, you know, it's you can't do that. It's I don't want to name names, but there are people in our industry for sure. It seems like they do that. All right, Skip Bayless is the number one. I people call me SEC Skip now. I mean, you tune into the show 5 days a week, sometimes six. You're not going to get nothing but an hour of hot takes. You're going to get an hour of full coverage. Now, when I'm on the Paul Feinbaum show, maybe I do have some fire takes. Just get the word out there on the show. They may hate me, but they keep my name in their mentions, and it does well for my business.
And in terms, I'm thinking about leaving all of this and starting my own little podcast in the corner. So I'm trying to get some tips. So I apologize for should have called you off the air, but I didn't have your number. And since we have you now, I'll abuse you. You're right. I mean, Bayless, I mean, he has said things that are just patently absurd, but he's not the only one. Closer to the space that we're in right now, which is the SEC, go ahead and call out some people and let's clear this up right now, Michael.
Well, certainly Danny Cannell would be another one I'd throw into that mix. I mean, I don't know what the hell he's
Michael,
thinking.
Michael, I will interrupt you, but does Danny Cannell even count as legitimate?
Well, he was a couple of years ago, but he still works for one of those big outlets, I do believe.
I say that because I used to do College Football Live with him every day. And, I mean, it was just a matter of how many eye rolls could you make when he would castigate Nick Saban or someone else, and it became and again I know what Danny's up to. I was kidding, of course. So you mentioned, hey, I like this, by the way. Let's call out a few more people. You call that Skip Bayless. You call that Danny Cannell. Anyone else you'd like to simply destroy their career before our segment ends?
No, and by my no means am I taking shots at these people. They're more famous and doing better than I am. But
not after this interview.
I admire the work of others people, and certainly I take from some people and I learn what not to do from others. Let's just put it there.
Well, I respect that Mike. Michael, I really do, because you do it in a way that, I mean, some people are, I mean, you see it a mile away. Here they come around the corner and you go, okay, here we go. And I'm not going to mention any of their names. I'll save that for a book. But I'm particularly curious do these things just come to you? Or is it just from study, from living and swimming in this space every day?
No, certainly. I mean, I think you have to delve deep into just all the college football coverage, and that's kind of what we do. Like I said, we hit on all 14 SEC programs, and I don't want to call out your employer, but I don't know if they do that as well as they should.
No,
you know what
of course
I mean?
Not.
So that's exactly what we're trying to do, and we listen to the common fan. We interact with the fans. They are free to DM me whenever we can, and we interact with all of them. I mean, someone like yourself, someone like Kurt Herbstreit, if a casual fan DMs them, I would be surprised if you're getting back to those people. But that's what you got to do when you're building an audience, when you're building it up. And we learn from all those experiences, and people really do stick with you if you give them the time of day.
I'm sorry, I was just DMing a fan. I want to go back to that controversy from a week ago. That there have been so many ridiculous hot takes, and by the way, including mine, about what Nick Saban said. I think we all understand what Nick Saban said, but we also understand the context. And yes, he came back and doubled down on it. But when you heard him say that before you got a chance to do a dissertation on it, what was your reaction?
Well, I think you move on. I try not to look too closely at the headlines, which we all run and grab at. So I like to actually hear what the man said. And I understand what he's saying. I mean, the standard is different at Alabama. I get that. But what was it? Alabama finished number two in recruiting to Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher. And all of a sudden, we got to blow up how we're doing recruiting. Now, Alabama finished number two again in the college football playoff national title game. And now it's a complete rebuild. I mean, that's his mindset, but I'll tell you, I would think Alabama had the number two roster in the country last year. So I don't think coaches around the sport are shedding any tears that Alabama had to rebuild with a roster anyone outside of Athens would have traded for in a heartbeat.
But Michael, if I could offer something, I have never seen so many lazy, disingenuous takes defending Nick Saban in my life. As everybody was just, you know, trying to get out as quickly as they could. Oh, Nick Saban's right and everybody else is wrong. And to me, there's a lot of context there, but it is Nick Saban. This is not interpreting something for a Supreme Court decision. It's just when he says something, it counts more than when Eli Drinkwitz says something. Agree?
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, you make a good point there, Paul, but again, anytime he's going to put his foot in his mouth there, I think he deserves some criticism because he is the greatest of all time. His words are measured a lot more across not only the SEC, obviously, but across the nation. But certainly a lot of people seem to be covering Nick Saban any and every opportunity they have, and that includes his feud there he had with Jimbo Fisher. I thought a lot of people jumped quickly on Nick Saban, and then they turned it on Jimbo, whereas, again, I don't think any of that would have happened if not for Nick Saban, who people claim, you know, he was saying that to a closed room, but there was cameras there, and he had a microphone in front of his face.
What did you think of what Jimbo Fisher said, though, a couple weeks ago, where he was sitting with us, and he said Saban's in here 2 days ago, and there's not a single question about the brouhaha, and the first four questions asked to me are about Nick Saban, and they're all from the state of Alabama. And I think he even called out AL.com, the well-known website there, is to the where most of the questions were emanating. I thought that was a pretty interesting tactical point that Jimbo Fisher made, not about Nick Saban, but about the media.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they had moved it out of Alabama. We were down there in Atlanta, but it certainly felt like we were in Alabama when Jimbo was up there. But hey, he's got a point. Lane Kiffin, same thing. First question right out the gate. They asked him about calling trick plays for Nick Saban. So, hey, there's a reason that there's so much coverage down there in the great state of Alabama. It's just because those fans are all in, not only on Alabama, but of course Auburn. And that's where you get the Brian Harsin saga. Had that, again, you point to Eli Drinkwitz. Had Drinkwitz went through a similar situation as Harsin, it would have been news, but I don't think it would have taken over the sport like it did for a couple weeks there.
You mentioned earlier as we close down, and we'll talk more inside baseball at another time, but you mentioned the top 25 and you broke down where other programs are ranked. And I was surprised. I mean, you got South Carolina at 46, not you, but the coaches. In going through all the programs that would theoretically show up, which ones do you think they got where did they miss the most? Where did the coaches miss the most?
I'll tell you, Paul, and it's a team that not a lot of people are talking about right now, but they should be. Mississippi State. I think they should be a top 25 team. I think they're going to start the season 4-0, which would include a win at LSU. The first conference game of the season. But Mississippi State's bringing back more than anybody in the conference. Mike Leach, Will Rogers really had that thing rolling until they dropped the Egg Bowl, and then they had the COVID issues in the bowl game, and it basically no-showed in the bowl game. So I think that some of the luster was lost from the progress gained by Mississippi State. But I think Mississippi State's going to be a really good team this year.
Great stuff from Michael Bratton. And by the way, Michael, we just got a text from Danny Cannell's personal attorney, and he would like to know if you're available for a conversation in the morning.
Thanks as always, Paul. I appreciate it.
Always fun. Wow. Nobody's better than this than Michael. I mean, that was just absolutely priceless. And he had to be subjected to a bunch of crazy questions by me. Imagine if a legitimate talk show host was conducting that. We are coming back with more of your phone calls right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Been a while since our next caller joined us, but he is on right now. Legend is next.
Woo! What's going on, brother? How you doing today?
Legend.
I have to warn you, Paul, I haven't taken my medication today.
Oh, my goodness. Alert the media.
Woo! Let me tell this about Michael Branton. Somebody ought to stick a GoPro up your ass so you see how full of crap you really are, dude.
Oh, my goodness.
Let me tell you something. Nick Saban was having an A and B conversation. A, being the king, Nick Saban. B, being the Alabama fan base. And he made it very clear to the team and to the fans that we have one goal. 14-1 and losing to Clemson ain't good enough. 13-2 and losing to the Puppy Dogs ain't good enough. At Alabama, it is about one thing, baby. It is about that national championship. It's about the ring, baby. It's about the friggin' ring. And for you to come on here and say Nick Saban stuck his foot in his mouth, I'll stick something in you know where, dude. You ought to keep your mouth shut and run your little podcast. That's what you ought to do. And don't worry. Let me tell you something. And forgive me because I ain't had my medication today. Okay, forgive me. But let me tell you something. It's the friggin' media's fault. Nick Saban can't take a crap without one of y'all trying to figure out if he's using one ply or two ply. Oh, Nick Saban said this. Nick Saban said that. Oh, my God. What does it mean? Break it down a million thousand ways. Shut the hell up. Why don't you just shut the hell up? I get sick and tired when our great coach is trying to have a conversation with his team, his fan base. You feel like you got to butt in and dissect it. Well, dissect this middle finger I got in my air, Michael Branton. Stick that in your mouth, brother. That's what you need to stick in your mouth. Now, let me tell you something, Daryl. Somebody need to stick a GoPro up your butt, too, so you see how full of crap you really are also. Let me break something down to you, dude. I like you for one reason. You know a little something about football. That says a whole lot more than for Jim, for Squirrel, for Augie, even I-Man. He knows weed. He just don't know football. You know a little bit. But listen here, dumb. Your secondary is weak as tater water outside of Ringo. And then for elite quarterbacks in the SEC, Ringo by himself means bingo for the elite quarterbacks in the SEC. And let me tell you something else, dude, if you didn't know it. Let me break it down to you. Trayvon Walker is a bust. And as an Indianapolis Colts fan, I'm so thrilled that Jacksonville Jaguars are a bunch of dummies when it comes to drafting. And let me tell you something else. Jordan Davis is 400 pounds. He won't make it to the 50-yard line in the NFL, and the no-huddle offenses for the Philadelphia Eagles defensive coordinator said get him the hell off the field. I guarantee you. The best player on that team was Dean, and the Eagles got a steal in a second round and a Rohan Smith sideline to sideline type quarterback. And you can talk about Florida all you want and say they're not a threat, but let me tell you something, Darryl. They don't have a leprechaun for a quarterback, okay? I didn't tell you what they got for a quarterback, brother. They got a man with a Cam Newton gene. That's right, a Cam Newton gene. And that first year to the second year is always that big jump. So you can talk South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, and all these other teams, but folks that really know football still knows that Florida is a big threat in the East. And as far as Alabama fans concerned, we still consider them the kingpin of the SEC East. I'm off my meds. I'm going crazy. Michael Brandon, put that in your mouth, dude. Legend out.
Ooh. That was a serious takedown there, in case you were curious. Elliot is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I want to talk about the coaches poll, but I want to make one comment. I'm a part of a multicultural family, and I think that it's perfectly appropriate for the university not to say anything about the comments that were made, because we don't have to rehash those words that are offensive. It doesn't stop in grade school with the kids. It doesn't stop in high school with the teenagers. It should definitely not happen when you're in college as a college student. Little words, just meaningless things, can hurt children so bad. And so I think that's important to know. But my question for you is, I feel like the same people that are voting for the playoff, the four spots in the playoff, are the same people putting this coaches poll together. How did Clemson get up there? And my question, a second question to you is, who has the toughest preseason schedule? Definitely not Clemson. And I think Mississippi State, let's pick them. Let's get somebody else in there, because this talk now leads to the thoughts that happen later when we start voting for who gets in the playoffs.
Yeah, Elliot, I understand the anxiety with the poll, but I mean, these things are just, they're part of the tapestry of college football. They get thrown out there. People talk about it when there's nothing else to talk about. Let's take a break. We have somebody that knows a little bit more about football than some of us. He will join us in just a moment. The legendary Taquio Spikes.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and we've had a chance to say hello to Taquio Spikes, the legendary not only Auburn player, but just an absolute giant in the NFL in media days. And Taquio, welcome. You'll be part of the SEC Network on the weekends and other times. But, you've been ingrained in the NFL since you left college. What was it like to show up at media days and parachute back into the college game?
Unbelievable. And I'm talking about, for me, I was the guy who had SEC media day. It was in Birmingham.
Sure.
And you walk in and you see everybody. And I was like, oh, my God, walking into this year to the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, it was like media day on steroids.
Yeah.
You know, so – it was great. It's good to see football is at an all-time high, you know, even in college. Every year it continues to get better.
Yeah, when you were a player, I mean, it was a big deal, and it had already been going on probably 10 years or more, you didn't have the television aspect. I mean, it was just a bunch of sports writers like me when you were a player, a couple of radio and TV guys, and it I wouldn't say it was – it just wasn't insane like it is now.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. And, you know, when you talk about that, I remember even going back to my first media day as a player. Well, the only media day, I remember walking in and seeing so many people. And immediately, guys are not prepped. Back then, we were not prepped, or it wasn't at the magnitude of how it is now. So when I walked in, I saw linebacker Greg Bright from Georgia.
Right.
I saw Jamie Duncan from Vanderbilt. So immediately in my mind, I was thinking, oh, everybody is here to see who is better. So I'm mean mugging the media. I'm mean mugging everybody, letting them know, no, I'm better. But, you know, after I was asked to take a photograph for Sporting News, and they asked me and Michael Myers, the defensive lineman from Alabama. And I remember telling the photographer, I was like, look, bro, I don't know how my Auburn people are going to take this. So I can't take this picture. And he was like, oh, no, it's not like that. It's just for a preview of the Iron Bowl as we get into the season. So Michael Myers looked at me and he was like, you good, Spikes? I was like, all right, I'm good. But that broke the ice for me. But that goes to show you the magnitude of it.
But you were, I mean, I saw you at your Auburn days, and obviously from a distance when you went to Buffalo and all these other places. But you were a passionate player, though. I mean, was that something that was ingrained in you, or did you develop that?
It was. I think some of it was ingrained. But even when I was 14 years old, I've always wanted to be great. You know, when I looked at NFL highlights, when you look at college football, I remember going to my first Auburn football game, the Iron Bowl, in 93. I knew at that point, this is the stage that I want to be at. And I want to play at big games. Like, I knew I couldn't go to any other conference, shout out to the SEC, but I knew this is where I wanted to be. So for me, it was like I had the want to and the curiosity. But once I got into it, I had to look at other players who I thought was great. And I was like, how can I add what they do to my regimen to make me become a better player than they are?
Were there particular players as you were growing up that you just looked at and go, that's the guy I want to be like?
I remember vividly Derek Thomas.
Woo.
I remember James Bostic.
Sure.
I remember the leadership skills. He didn't talk much, but he was a giant, but a technician at everything that he did was Willie Anderson, offensive tackle.
Sure.
You know, great so player. I remember the dominance of looking at all of the Florida Gators coming through. Eric Rhett, Danny Werfel. I used to hate them, too. God, they used to spoil everybody's Saturday.
I mean, and I've gotten to know, obviously, I've been fortunate to get to know a lot of players. And it seems like the defensive guys, though, especially where you were, I mean, I don't want to say it's a license to kill, because you don't take anything lightly when you're on that side of the ball, do you?
No, because I think it's a crime for a wide receiver to come across the middle and not be afraid. Like, that's an indictment on my defensive coordinator, or it's an indictment on me as a player. That's how I thought about it when I was younger. And even to this day, but now the rules have changed,
sure,
and I understand why. You know, it's all about quality of life after you play the game, but that's the mentality that I had.
That's something we had a guest on earlier who did a story about players in the 60s, and it's turning out now there's so many of them that have been affected by CTE. As a player, I mean, things were certainly different by the time you got to the SEC and to the NFL. But as a player, can you stop and be concerned about things like that, especially a guy that was as powerful and as potent as you were?
Yeah, Paul, you really do. And I'll give you a real-life example. I remember back in 2010, 11, 12, that was my last few years in the National Football League, and that's when you started hearing things. Right. The movie Concussion came out. And you worried as a player, like, man. And for me, I went so many years thinking the only thing, well, a concussion is when you get completely knocked out. And I've been knocked out 2 times. But when I did the education and I realized if you have to do this after you get a hit, that's a slight concussion.
Yeah.
And so as a player, it made me more aware. And then the rule changes started to come. And it was hard because you've been taught something so long, how to play the game, how to attack a certain way. And all of a sudden, in 1 year, you can't do that anymore. It's almost as if your first language speaking when you're coming out of your mother's womb is English, and now somebody's asking you to speak Spanish. Like, it's just, that's how hard it was to be able to adjust.
How difficult was it at that moment when your job is just to knock a player's head off, whether it's the wide receiver coming over the middle or the quarterback, if you could get to him, or anyway, and then in your head, you're going, I can't do this.
It's very hard. Put it this way, I just got a two-hour massage just on my traps and my neck yesterday because it still hurts from me being indecisive trying to hit a quarterback. I'm a millisecond away from hitting the quarterback, and I'm thinking, okay, should I hit him high? Should I hit him low? Should I thrust into him? Should I not? And I ended up hurting myself. Mm. And so I'm still getting the treatment and still doing the little things, even after life, to make sure, you know, my life is quality and I still can get around and have good conversations with you.
That is so interesting because we watch the game and, yeah, we all go crazy if there's a, you know, somebody, you know, puts a hit on the quarterback and the flag gets called and it's chaos. And I realize, you know, everything in the NFL and in college games are different. But you don't stop to think how important it is, but also how disruptive it is.
No, you don't. And as a player, I tell you firsthand, you think you're invincible. You think that you can whoop anybody. And you think that whenever I show up, I'm going to show out. But the reality of it is this. When you're done with the game of football, if you're lucky enough to advance, if you're not, you're done with the game after college, what you in your early 20s. Now, if you're lucky enough to play beyond the average, let's say at least 5 years in the National Football League, now you may be 26, 27, 28. Guess what? Man, you have a whole lot of living left to do. And so I think that's the main thing is, and I make it a point to even when I talk to the younger guys now, is just, look, I know everybody likes to have the ice. I know everybody likes to have a good time. You want to treat everybody. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to do it in moderation because when you're done playing, you got a whole lot of living left to do. And you want to make sure that your lifestyle that you want to live forever is sustainable. And so versus you trying to go out and take everybody out, maybe take one, two, three of your partners with you and tell them, look, hey, we gonna bust this down at the end of the night. And that way it's sustainable living and you still can live the same type of lifestyle. Simple things.
In terms of positions and attitudes, I mean, every position's got a different approach. You know, where you played, whether it's on the line, whether it's in the back. But I mean, was that a conversation piece among your teammates? Is listen, because I'm sure there's always kidding around, but because every group thinks they are the ones that are going to do the most damage.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, if you talk to the wide receivers, they'll tell you they're the most physically conditioned athlete in the game. But if you talk to the safeties, they'll tell you, no, we are the most important people on the field because we have to get everybody aligned. Now, if you come to the linebackers, I'll tell them, I do it all. I have to stop the run and play the pass. So, you know, so everybody has their vantage point in the way that they see it. But that's what makes the game so good because, you know, nobody value is bigger. I wouldn't say bigger, but everybody has value, and that value carries so much weight at different times throughout the game.
But it's also cyclical, though, because, I mean, I don't follow the NFL like you did, but at times this position is more valued than that position, and then something happens and a player comes along and shatters that myth.
Yeah, and, you know, we see a lot of that, how certain positions are devalued. Let's take, for an example, running backs in the National Football League. You know, people will say, oh, we're not paying running backs because they get hurt. Well, that's true, but you choose to highlight what gets hurt, and then you create this narrative behind it. And so I know, for an example, I was just looking at TV yesterday, ESPN, and they was talking about Ezekiel Elliott.
Everybody's talking about that.
Like, he has to have a big year.
Exactly.
And truth be told, like, did he have a good year last year? Yeah, he had a good year. It wasn't Zeke-esque. But the truth of the matter is he didn't get a lot of carries and the opportunities that he got from the previous years. So, you know, it's kind of like six in one hand, a half dozen in the other. But the point is you got to be productive in that small opportunity time window.
Well, this was not exactly what we intended to talk about, but we're going to see you a lot this fall. So I thought we'd get to know you a little bit better and just remind those NFL fans of yours, and especially the folks back at Auburn, what a terror you were to watch. And I say that with the great most admiration and respect.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Look forward to it. We're going to be a consistent on the Fine Bomb show. Listen, Paul, listen, if you got some time, but you got to need to take a vacation, I don't mind taking calls for you now.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea because there are a couple of things you've done in the past that have had an indelible impression on me or made an indelible impression. And I think you represent what this show is about. You will speak right to that camera and tell people what you think. You're not one of these sugarcoat guys.
Nah, man. Only thing I like sugarcoated was my cereal. Well, that was Special K, and I used to put sugar on them.
We're going to try to get you in here more often, and I don't know if your bosses will allow it, but I think it would be great just to let you loose, and if some guy wants to say, you don't know what you're talking about, I'll buy the popcorn and watch.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not asking for an answer now. Just think about it.
Well, let me assure you one thing. I realize you're new here, and you've already made one mistake thinking that I have any power whatsoever. You'll find out. They just bring me in, they sit me down, and at 7 they cart me out. And other than that, I have nothing to do with this operation.
Well, you hold an audience well. I remember that from my days in school.
We'll talk about that next time.
Yeah.
About what the players thought of the media. That could be dangerous for me. Great to see you, Tagio.
Likewise.
What an incredible conversation. We'll take a short break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're having a blast tonight with so many really cool guests. How about Al next in Georgia? Hello, Al.
How are you doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
Great, great. I'm just calling about that idiot and you had on earlier. Legend.
Legend, yeah.
Did that fool ever play football?
I don't remember seeing his picture in any of the yearbooks, but he could have. I mean, he had a different history. You know, everybody knows Legend's past. I mean, he had a detour during his late teens, early 20s. He lived in government housing for a couple of years.
Okay, that nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is he seems like he's the only one that knows anything about football. Give us a break.
It did seem that way.
Yeah, and I've never understood that. Why do you guys let him on there?
Well, ultimately, we're responsible. We hit the button.
I understand.
Just like this button was hit.
It's like he's the only one that knows anything about football. Come on. I mean, heck, there's a lot of Southern people especially that played and know about football.
I don't know. Are you sure, Al, he's not the only person that really knows anything about football?
I'm positive.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I bet on it, Mr. Feinbaum.
That's one of the few times somebody bragged about being positive these days. Vance is up next. Hello, Vance.
Hey, Paul.
Hi there.
Brother, I gotta do this. You know, Jim Rome, who you've got some callers that are clones of his. We talked about that once.
Sure.
But he had a great buzzer on his show when he'd fire somebody.
Right.
You should have fired Elliot.
Well, here's the problem, though, is we can't afford a buzzer here. Times are tight.
Well, actually, I watched Rome's television show the other day, which shows how depressed and lonely my life is. And now he does it verbally. Oh. But anyway, I didn't know Rome had
a television show.
No, he does. I don't need to hear about insensitive words. But the real reason I'm calling, doesn't it seem odd to you?
Yes.
That in the first year since the playoffs began, that Clemson did not make it. They've got to be the most forgotten football team I can remember.
Well, Vance, they're so forgotten, they've landed at the number, four position in the preseason poll.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad they did, but no one what they did.
Well, no, you're right. I mean, Clemson has either been number one or number two in most every poll. I just got gong there. We'll be right back after this.